Reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, Chapter 13, Deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. Yesterday we're hearing how Mahaprabhu, after Kirtan and Shiva Sangam, he and all of his devotees, including Jagai and Madhai, they went to the Ganga to take bath. And they were enjoying their bathing, jalkeli, splashing water on one another. And different devotees were pairing off and fighting. So the idea of hearing Shastra, we have to hear with absorption. So part of absorption is immersion. To immerse ourselves in the time and place of the Shastra and the personality of the Shastra. We should not be a distant observer. We should not be a distant observer of Shastra, but we should be an active participant by the strength of our meditation. Because these pastimes of the Lord are eternal. So being eternal, that means they can be contacted eternally. One can connect with these pastimes eternally. In some material universe, there is an earth planet, there is a Mayapur, there is a Navadvip. This pastime is going on. Prabhupada says like a road show, like the circus. Circus comes to town and everyone sees the circus, the animals, the jugglers. And then the circus packs up and goes to the next city. It comes to Bombay, then it goes to Pune. And they take all the animals and the tigers and the jugglers and all these people with them. The Lord's Leela is moving around the universe. So we're sitting in Bombay, but actually there is Srivasangam somewhere. And we can be there. We can, the Shastras, as Prabhupada would often say, these paintings, if there are any here, maybe there's one there. The paintings depicting Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela, these paintings of Krishna's Leela are windows of the spiritual world. And when we see this painting, then it transports us to that dimension as much as we can enter there by the strength of our surrender and by the strength of our desire to be there. So as paintings are windows to the spiritual world, the Shastras, because that's only one form of depicting the spiritual reality, is through paintings. But another depiction of the spiritual reality is words. Shastras are full of words, shlokas, verses. And these words are also a medium to transport us to the spiritual world. They are a vehicle to transport us. Everyone has a television in their house, and they turn on the television. That box, that television, is like a box. And that box has the ability to transport us. That box has the ability to transport us to another dimension, to another place. Sometimes we turn on that box, the television, and there's a movie about India, 1920s. Sometimes they have these movies, time period movies. So when you watch the movie, you see everything in the movie and you become very absorbed due to the play of that light, the cinema. Because movies capture our senses, our eyes, our ears. These are very powerful senses to be caught. Scientists have studied, they say the eyes are the most powerful sense to capture the mind of the human being. So hearing is not so powerful as seeing. So movies, they work on the principle of visual and audio, audio and visual. We hear the music. Music is a crucial part of a movie. The emotions are controlled by the music for the large part. You can imagine watching some suspense movie without music. No violins. They're just watching a silent movie with all suspense, or there's some fight scene and there's no sound. And you're just watching. This guy hits that guy. You can't get very much absorbed only by seeing a movie, a silent movie. But with the sound and then the sight. And now they do things. They come around the audience and spray perfume or whatever. They try to involve more. So they're very expert at capturing our attention and absorbing our consciousness. It's effortless. It's passive absorption. We can be very passive. All we have to do is sit and keep our eyes and ears open if we don't fall asleep. Sometimes people go in the movie theater, they fall asleep. The seat is very comfortable. There's nice air conditioning. And they're really tired. And then people fall asleep. So Shastra, we have to be a lot more active. We cannot be passive observers of Shastra and get absorbed. But we can be passive observers of television or movies and get fully absorbed to the point that we cry. We identify, we are so absorbed in the movie, we identify with the Nayak or the Nayaka. With a hero and heroine, we laugh, they laugh, and we laugh. And they become fearful, we become fearful. They become happy, we become happy. They cry, the heroine cries, and we go, oh. And we're crying. Get out our tissue paper. So we're very much absorbed. And it's all just a play of light on a screen. So Shastra is a play of words on a piece of paper. It's also a play. It's a movement. Words are moving on the paper. Light is moving on the screen, on a movie screen. It's only light. And we're so absorbed. We cry, we laugh, we get angry. What? Why do you do like this? So absorption in a movie is quite easy. So you can be a passive observer of a movie and get totally absorbed in it. But becoming absorbed in Shastra requires more active participation. Movie is a play of light on a screen, and Shastra is a play of words on a page. There's type on a piece of paper. But these words, these Chaitanya Bhagavat and Srimad Bhagavatam, they're called Rasa Shastra. They're full of rasa, which means rapture. But this is transcendental rasa, dibya rasa. So it's divine rapture. As we read the Shastra, of course, some background or some foundation of knowledge. We must have some knowledge of rasa tattva. But at least if we try to become absorbed, we have to be much more active. We have to think, okay, just like when you watch a movie, my analogy I was giving a minute ago, it's a time movie, 1920s in India. I mean, of course, don't think I go to the movies. The fact is, I've never seen a television show or a movie and since 37 years. So I'm talking about movies because you can relate to it. It's Bollywood. and we all grew, at least at some point, we've all watched television and movies, that's for sure. But at least in the last 37 years, I had no interest or time. But this analogy, because we've all had the experience of how easily we become absorbed and captured and captivated by a movie, just passively sitting there, it draws our mind, it draws our senses, and the amazing thing, it even draws our heart. We cry, we laugh, we identify. So Shastra, we have to learn the art of becoming absorbed in Shastra. When we watch a time period movie, as I was mentioning, it's 1920s India. So when you look at the movie, it's 1920s cars, or it's no cars, it's only a railway tram, and the people are wearing certain fashions, and there are certain kind of buildings, and they set the time, and you can understand that this is 50, 80 years ago, or whatever. And then, so you're starting to think, yes, I'm there. The whole idea of the movie is to put you there. You're there, you're in the 1920s, and you're right into the scene, and so Shastra, it's much more active participation. We really, to get absorbed, we have to think, well, who, what, when, where, why, and how? These questions, in order to absorb ourselves in a particular activity, then we can answer these questions. All right, I'm opening this book. Of course, we approach the Shastra with so much humility and so much prarthana, which we were mentioning this morning. That's why there's so many Mangalacharana. Even the very givers of Shastra, the Mahajanacharyas, they themselves approach the Shastra that they are writing or delivering by giving so many prayers. Every chapter they begin with Mangalacharana. You see, and especially Krishna's Kaviraj. There's so much, you know, auspicious. Mangalacharana means the invocatory prayers. Every chapter is Mangalacharana. So he's praying to the actors of the drama. He's praying to the participants, and he's begging for their mercy that he can describe these Nityalilas of Gauranga. So we approach the Shastra with prayers. Of course, Prabhupada taught us this. He taught us this is the approach to Shastra. He taught us the approach to Shastra is humility and prarthana. Dainya bhav and prarthana. That we come and we pay obeisances to the Shastra. Before our swadhyaya, before our study, we offer obeisances to the Shastra. The Shastra is Krishna, Gauranga. Then we offer prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu. This is our standard practice. There are so many other prayers that can be offered. So this is the approach. So that's the first thing, humility and then prayers. Prayers to be absorbed. And that can be formulated yourself. Oh, Vedavyas Vrindavan Das Thakur. I'm opening this book, Madhya Kanda, and I'm reading about this Leela that took place 520 years ago in Navadvip. And I want to be there. Because that there is eternal. It's not a was, it's an is. It is going on, it is happening in a particular universe. So I have the Shraddha, I have the faith that Vrindavan Das Thakur, he has the power to transport me to that dimension, to take me 500 years to that reality where this Leela is going on, and this is Srivasangam, and somehow I'm there. Lord Chaitanya has asked me to come and film the event. Like we have a wedding, this big wedding season. So you hire some video wallah to come and film the wedding. So he's really not part of the entourage of the wedding. He's not part of the bridegroom's party. He's not part of the bride's party. He's a hired person to capture the wedding, isn't it? So he doesn't have any emotional connection with anyone or any family connection, but he's there. He's very much there, and maybe even more there than some of the participants because he has to catch every scene and if he's good in special angles. So we're not one of the participants. We're not one of the parishads of the Lord. Someday we hope to be, but at this level we're observers. We can be distant observers. We can film the wedding from across the street with a telephoto lens, or we can be right there. And right at the Yajnashala and at the Vivaha Yajna, and the man lifts, or the husband lifts the veil, and we were right there, and we see the face of the wife when he lifts the veil, and then another camera sees the expression of the man when he sees his wife's face. Oh. he lifts her veil and sees her face. Oh no. And then that's on the camera. So the Shastra, we pray to Vrindavan Das Thakur, I want to be there. I'm not a parishad, so I have no adhikar to be in Shiva Sangam with the Antaranga Bhaktas dancing in a nocturnal kirtan. And Jagai and Madai, they received the adhikar. They surrendered, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took all their sins. He became black in color. It's all right here. He turned black from all their sins. So much compassion. He took wholesale all their sins. But I've been hired as a cameraman. Somehow I want to be there. I want to be a participant. I want to be an observer, not a distant observer with a telephoto lens. I want to be right there, hands on. So then we say, now. So this is the preparatory work before we. Otherwise, okay, where am I? Just open. Oh, it's like, wait a minute. I'm in Navadvip. I'm in Mayapur, and maybe we had the fortune to visit there. there's the places to commemorate. Of course, it's not the original exactly building or bhavan, but the location and the place of these leelas. Maybe we walked there. Maybe we rolled in the dust to those places. Shiva Sangha, Mahaprabhu Bhavan, Jagannath Mishra's house, Yogapith. And so we can, yes, I'm there. And I pray to that dust. That dust of the Holy Dham was once on my forehead. And I had the fortune to be there. How many of you have ever been to Navadvip, to Mayapur? So many. So fortunate we are. So then we say now it's 500 years ago and I'm there. And there's all these pundits and Brahmins gathered here, all the associates of the Lord, and Jagai and Madai are there. And now, and then so as you go deep into it, there's no hurry. There's no, usually people like to read Shastra like they consume their prasadam. Everyone is pretty fast when it comes to taking prasadam. It's told that Srila Prabhupada, when he would take his honorous prasadam, he would take 30 minutes or something. It was like, he was quite careful about it, methodical about it. So Shastra is not to be devoured, Shastra is to be served. Shastras, we have to absorb ourselves in the Shastra. So now if we're picking up the thread of a story, we're reading a little bit every day. When we open the book, we have to think, well, where did I leave off? Well, the kirtan was finished. And after the kirtan, everyone was feeling some fatigue, and they all went to the Ganga. Lord Chaitanya and all his associates, they entered the Ganga. And when is this? And it's Vrindavan Das Thakur said this was their regular occurrence every night. Well, what time is this? Who, what, when, where, why, how? Well, who? Well, it's Lord Chaitanya. What's going on? Well, where did I leave off yesterday? Oh, I'm just forget about, because when you go in the movie, you go into this movie, it's totally dark. It's not your house, it's not a familiar place, it's the movie theater. You don't own it, you pay money, you sit there. Then it's all air conditioning and special seats and it's all dark. And then they take you away. You forget everything. You're not in Bombay. You go to another place, to caveman. You see some caveman movie or something. You go back to the caveman. So when we read Shastra, we should forget about it. I'm not in Bombay. I'm there. I'm in Navadvip. And I'm with the Panchatattva there. And I saw the Panchatattva in Mayapur and the associates are there. So now they're in the Ganga, they splash water, and this is going on every night. Well, when is it? I go swimming in the daytime in the Ganga. This is not the daytime, this is 12 o'clock at night. I said, oh, really? So if you're watching the movie, it'd be like a night scene. It'd be a night scene on the movie, and it'd be all dark, and there'd be some lighting there. And that's what we asked yesterday. Well, how are they seeing each other? How did they splash water? They were splashing water on each other, so how did they see each other? It was 12 o'clock at night. And it said every night they were splashing water and going swimming after kirtan. Well, one of those nights is Amavasya. So you could say, well, they were seeing each other by the moonshine. As you can see quite a bit in the moonshine. But Amavasya, dark moon, you can't see. But Nityananda was splashing water in Advaita, and he was a good shot because he got it right in Advaita's eyes. And Advaita got angry and started calling all bad names to Nityananda. Then criticizing Srivas for giving him shelter. Why are you keeping this terrorist in your house? Why are you giving shelter to this terrorist? He's terrorizing me in the Ganga. He's bombarding me with volleys of water. He's shooting me down with volleys of water. So this is... So first we set the scene, and where are we? We're in Navadvip. We're in the Ganga. We just left the Ganga, and we're with these personalities. And then we want first of all, there's icha. We have desire to be absorbed. I want to be absorbed. And then we can derive more and more benefit. Grihyasi prabhu duhi lena shri charan tulasira kari lena charana vandan. After returning home from the Ganga, Mahaprabhu washed his feet and offered obeisances to Tulsi. So this Nara Leela of the Lord is so appealing because Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas, the Shrestha Dvija Brahman, the Parama Shrestha Dvija Brahman, Mahaprabhu, he's showing on one level, many levels of his Leela, no doubt. But On one level, he's showing the ideal behavior of a devotee. So, so much achar here, that he was out, he walked, and they didn't, you know, he walked back from the Ganga, which was practically across the street from his house. Washes his feet, this is also to be done. Wash the feet after traveling. And Ayurveda says, if you come, after you're traveling, and you come back to your house, if you wash your legs from the knees with cold water from your knees down to your feet, not that you take a full bath, that's also very good, but if you just wash your legs from knees down to the feet after just being out, walking here and there, going to the market, you'll be relieved from all fatigue. It's a health consideration. Of course, it's a consideration of purity. So he's showing this example. Then he offers obeisances to Tulsi. Mojana karite vasi lena vishambar naivedyana ani maye karila gochar. Thereafter Vishambar sat down to eat, and Mother Shachi brought the offered foods before him. So he's in his home, Mahaprabhu's bhavan, Jagannath Mishra bhavan, and we try to see, because all of this seeing requires act. We have to be active. We have to really open our minds to see Mother Shachi is serving him, and he's sitting down. Tulsi's there, and to see Mahaprabhu in the eyes offering obeisances to Tulsi. What a beautiful sight! Just to see Mahaprabhu. We bend down to Tulsi. Our Lord, our God, he's bending down to Tulsi. He's offering obeisances. Why do you bend down this plant? I remember in Los Angeles, people, some karmis would come to visit us, and the sometimes school people would come to visit. Why do you people bend down to this plant, this tree? What do you worship, trees? Oh, well God does. I mean, God's bending down, so if God can bend down to this tulsi, why can't I? I mean, not that we don't really say that, but we explain other things. Sarva Bhagavat Tere Karya Nivedan Ananta Brahmanda Nat Karina Bhojan. The Lord of unlimited universes offered prayers to all the devotees and then began to eat. Sarva Bhagavat Tere Karya Nivedan Ananta Brahmanda Nat Karina Bhojan. So this is the we talk about this the Lord's expression of his divinity. And he expresses his divinity in two channels. There's the Aishvarya consideration and the Madhurya consideration. And this is everywhere if one looks in Shastra, how the Lord is revealing his dynamic aspect of his power, omnipotence, the godly, the general understanding of Godhood. And then a second later, he's revealing his intimate sweetness. One nice verse to consider this point is in Bhagavad Gita, which presents this blend of Aishwarya and Madhurya. Aishwarya Mahi Bhagavan and Madhurya Mahi Bhagavan. It's chapter 5, verse 29. Krishna starts off, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarava Loka Maheshwaram. That's the God way out there. He's way out there. He's in outer space. Everyone knows his verse, the peace formula. Krishna's telling Arjuna, he says, I am the Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I am the supreme Ishvara, the Maha Ishvara. I am the supreme controller of every single planet and every single universe. That's gigantic. That's omnipotency. That's Aishvarya to the maximum. The maximum totality of Vibhuti. And Bhoktaram Yagatapasam, I am the enjoyer of everything, and all yajna and puja is meant for me. I am yajna vai Vishnu, yajna purush. So that's like colossal. It's the Virata Rup conception, this huge towering form of God, and we quiver and we feel trembling and fear before this wrath of God. But then Krishna says, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. He says, I'm sitting in your heart. I'm your nearest and dearest friend. Surit. Surit means inside the heart. Suriti. So what is, who is more dear than that? Even the husband and wife, they embrace, but there's only bodies embracing, and maybe hearts, feelings. But Krishna's inside the heart. No wife can enter inside your heart, at least physically. Sometimes that emotion can be there. Oh, she's entered deep into my heart or consciousness, or he or whatever. Of course, that's rare, but Krishna's physically, emotionally, transcendentally, ontologically, in the heart of the jiva, Atma Paramatma. So this is the Madhurya Mayi Bhagavan, so sweet, so intimate, so compassionate, so loving, so close. That's Bhagavad Gita, that's Kurukshetra. And Kurukshetra is where he showed the Aishwarya to the maximum, Virata Rup. And Arjuna became afraid. This is not the sweet Lord I know. I know I sleep with the sweet Lord. And there's one Puranic story it tells in Narada Muni. It shows his sweetness and the intimacy of Arjuna. One minute he's seeing Aishwarya Mayi Bhagavan, Virata Rup, Virata Purush on the battlefield. And then in Dwarka Lila, they're sleeping in the same bed together, which he alludes to in the Bhagavad Gita when he was so fearful. He said, oh, we sat together. You know, we slept on the same bed. We you know, we shared food together. He was like afraid. So this Puranic story, it tells that Narada Muni once went to Dwarka. Well, not once, but so many times. But one of the times that he went to Dwarka, and then he inquired from Daruka or someone, whoever was over there, he said, where's Bhagavan? Where's Dwarkadish? He said, oh, he's sleeping in his bedroom. You can go upstairs, and because rishis always have access to the houses of grihastas and kings, at least the old days. Even now, I remember in India, in the early days, we could, as dressed as sadhus, we could practically enter anyone's house in India. In America, you step on the sidewalk in front of a person's house, if you're dressed as a Hare Krishna, I'll shoot you. Well, you won't open the door and the chokidar won't let you in. But in India, they have it, it's a different culture. So Narada Muni went right into the bedroom. And he was the most amazed at what he saw. It was the most amazing sight of intimacy and confidentiality of the Lord, of Lord Dwarkadish. Lord Dwarkadish is lying in his bed. Well, that's what you do on bed. You lie on it and you sleep on it. But the amazing thing was that he was holding on his chest while he was sleeping, very peacefully. He was holding on his chest 2 feet. And they weren't Rukmini's feet. Satyabhama's feet. They were Arjuna's feet. And Arjuna's head was on the opposite side of the bed. One head was here, one head was here. Krishna's head was here, and Arjuna's feet were here. On the other side of the bed, opposite, Arjuna was lying there. And on his chest were Krishna's feet. And he was holding them. Standing by the head of Arjuna was Draupadi with Chamara. Standing by the head of Dwarkadish was Rukmini with Chamara. A most beautiful, tender, sweet, intimate scene. Madhurya Mayi Bhagavan, Dwarkadish. That's not it. That's not the end of it. There's more. So first his eyes were totally amazed in his heart what Narada Muni saw. Ham bhakta pradino. Krishna says, I am controlled by my devotee. He says, I am aswatantra. Krishna is abhigya and swatantra. Swatantra means he's fully independent. God is fully independent. But in the presence of his devotee, he becomes aswatantra. He becomes dependent on their love. He dances to the tune of their love. Like a puppet. So the next amazing thing is, Narada Muni, he's looking at this scene and he's amazed. And then he hears some very faint voice. Like Krishna is lovingly clutching the feet of Arjuna on his chest and sleeping. Every single pore on Krishna's body is emanating a mantra. Every pore, pore means little hole. You know, there's a hair, hair follicle, a hair, skin pore. Every little pore, every little portion of the body of Krishna is emanating a mantra. What is that mantra? Arjun, 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 Arjun. Narada Muni's amazed. And then he hears another sound. He hears some other very faint sound, but he can't make it out. And it's coming from the other side of the bed. So he moves. He moves his position to near Arjun's side of the bed. And then he also hears a mantra coming out of Arjun's body. And what could that mantra be? Hare Krishna? No. Everyone raises their hand. Hare Krishna? No, I'm sorry. It's not that. But he heard coming out of every pore of Krishna's body, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This is the intimacy. This is Suridam Sarvabhutanam. This is the intimacy of Bhagavan. He's in the heart of his devotee. So this is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is showing this Aishwarya, Mahi Bhagavan, and Madhurya Mahi Bhagavan. And this is Chaitanya Bhagavat, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is also showing. But the speciality of Chaitanya Leela, there is Aishwarya Mahi Bhagavan, there's Madhurya Mahi Bhagavan, and there's Audharya. Audharya Mahi Bhagavan. Aishwarya Mahi Bhagavan and Madhurya Mahi Bhagavan, they display their sweetness or grandeur or majesty or power. But Mahaprabhu, he displays, but he brings you into the display. You become part of the display. This is the magnanimity, the drawing. He draws. The Audharya means that Lord Chaitanya draws us into his Leela and draws us through his Leela into the Leela of Radha and Krishna. So this is the speciality of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Audharya, there's Madhurya, there's Aishwarya. This verse, what is this verse telling us about Lord Chaitanya that I just read? Ananta Brahmanda Nath. Ananta Brahmanda. There are as many universes in this Ekpad Vibhuti, this one-fourth of the Lord's creation, there are as many universes in this Ekpad Vibhuti creation of the Lord as there are sorso bij, mustard seeds, in a 100-kilo bag of mustard seeds. And there's more than that. Can you count? Can we count the individual seeds, sorso kabij, mustard seeds in a bag? It's thousands, millions. So Ananda Brahmanda Nath, Nathji, Sri Nathji Ki Jai. So Ananta Brahmanda, who is the Lord of all these universes? Nimai Pandit. That Nimai Pandit that steals bananas from Kolavesha Sridhar and fights over the price of banana leaves or throws a chudder over his... I see this great chudder over this chap's head. Then I think of this Leela of when Jagannanda Pandit and Nimai Pandit, they put this great chudder over their heads and one boy went like this. Jagannanda Pandit put his fingers up like this. And then they went into Kolavesha Sridhar's banana grove, into his banana patch. And the fingers like this was representing the horns of a bull. And there was a few boys underneath his great shutter, and they were moving around the banana patch of Kolavesha Sridhar at about 11 o'clock at night, stealing bananas. So Krishna's hiding and trying to disguise himself as a bull. And then Kolavesha Sridhar came out and said, "Hey! Who's that? What is that? Some bull is eating my..." And then they threw the chudder and ran away. And Kolavesha found the chudder. And he went the next day. He went to Jagannath Mishra's Bhavan. He said, "Do you recognize this chudder?" "Yeah, that's my son. That's Nimai's chudder." Okay, that's all I want to know. Here it's your son's chudder. The next day when Sachimata sent Nimai to go buy some leaf plates for puja or bhojan or whatever... And then Kolavesha Sridhar said, I'm not selling you anything because you already stole everything last night. You already stole, you ripped me off last night, so you must have plenty of leaves. My shop is closed to you. Hey, what is it? I didn't steal it. Then he made this beautiful face and beautiful lotus eyes, and then Kulavecchia said, okay, anyway, here, take the leaf, please. So this Nimai Pandit is Ananta Brahmanda Nath. He's the Lord of unlimited millions and millions of universes. Yes, but what is he doing? Sarva Bhagavatere Kariya Nivedan. He's offering prayers to all the devotees. He's the Lord of all the universes, but he's bowing at the feet of the Vaishnavas. And he's offering all respects to them and says, may I take my prasad? My mother's come to serve me, and you've all come with me. I have all rights to sit and take this Mahaprasadam from our Thakurji, from our Kula Devata. But I'm not independent. I'm not independent. I'm with you. I'm with my devotees. And so I offer my prayers to all of you. May I take prasadam? This is sweetness. This is the Madhurya aspect of the Lord. That's what Vedavyasa is showing. That's what Vrindavanas Thakur is showing, to show the dynamic feature of Krishna. The Lord of unlimited universes offered prayers to all the devotees. He then began to eat. And then who is doing that? Ananta Brahmanda Nath. Do we ever do such a thing? We can't think of that. Sit down with the devotees and offer prayers. Parama Santoshi Maha Prasada Paya Mukha Shudhi Kari Dware Vasila Asiya. After honoring Mahaprasadam with great satisfaction, Mahaprabhu purified his mouth and sat down in the doorway. So the absorption aspect is we're imagine you're filming it, you're there, you're seeing Mahaprabhu sat down, all the Sarva Bhagavat Gan, all the devotees are there with him, he's offering prayers to them, he offered obeisance to Tulsi, you see the Tulsi's there, he's washed his feet, Mother Sachi's serving prasad, now he's finished. Now he's gone out, he's washed his mouth, and maybe you're even, that's one level, is to be a passive observer. I mean, we actively have to involve our minds, but then we're at the actual location of the Leela, we're observing and seeing. Then a higher level, on the level of Raganuga Bhakti, then one is actually doing service there. And it's Kaishor Rup, and it's Siddhadeya, as a Nityakishore Brahman. If in fact that we attain that level, and that type of utsaha, seva utsaha, that intense enthusiasm, desire to serve, then at the appropriate level of advancement, the guru will reveal the siddhadeha or the sarup. And then we'll not only absorb ourselves in lila, but we'll be there. We'll have a pitcher of water and we'll have a bowl, and just like sometimes you see, of course that's another point, devotees are serving some sannyasi or some guru, and after he eats, they bring a bowl and they bring some pitcher, bartan of water, and they wash your hands. Oh, Maharaj, wash your hands. You don't have to get up and go outside to the nal or whatever. They make some facility to serve the devotee. So this is going on. So you can, the Lord washed his mouth. Well, how did he wash his mouth? I mean, water fell out of the sky and he washed his mouth. You know, so when you're absorbed, you're thinking, well, yeah, he went somewhere. Did they have a tap and they had a plumbing system in the house? Or what did they have? It's 500 years ago. They had a water pump and they put the water up on the roof and they turn the tap and it comes out the tap. Jaguar faucets, Jaguar Nalls or something, you know, or signature model fancy faucets. Now, there was some facility, very village-type facility, so that means it was all done personally. Someone take a bowl, so you're standing there and you have a pitcher. There's no limitation. It's not that we can't render service, a Manasi Seva. But Manasi Seva, we have to have Adhikar for it, and we need Rag. We don't care. We don't care to render service. So therefore, we don't care because we have no interest in rendering service internally because we have no Rag. We have no Rag, we have no knowledge, and we have no Adhikar. And of course, sanction or permission to perform such activity There's no limit, not that we're barred, but generally the entrance or the access is given by the mercy of Guru. He says, yes, you do like this. But there's no prison bars. There's no prison bars on Shastra. Our minds are not locked in prison. You know prison? Our minds are not tied up in straitjackets. As much as rag and attachment and attraction we have, our mind can move in that direction. Of course, there's parameters and boundaries, legitimate boundaries to the extent of how we can meditate or serve. Not that we imagine all kinds of crazy things. So that has to be tempered. Our meditation has to be tempered with proper advancement and awareness of the situation. So so he sat down in the doorway. Varusange deke ai nayana bharya mahananda sagare sharira dubhaya. As Mother Shachi and her daughter-in-law is Vishnupriya, saw these pastimes of Mahaprabhu to the full satisfaction of their eyes, they floated in an ocean of bliss. Mahananda Sagar, Sharira Dubhai. So that would be nice. Mahananda. Now we're drowning in the Bhava Sagar. Bhava Sagar. Ocean of material existence, but you can drown or you can float. You can float Dubaya. You can float in Mahananda Sagar, float in an ocean of bliss when we become perfect and liberated, enter the Leela of the Lord. So now we're seeing Mother Sachi's there and her daughter is there, Vishnupriya, her daughter-in-law. And they're simply observing. They're watching the Lord. They served him, they watched him. Mahavru washed his mouth. He sat in the doorway. Aira bhagyar simha kebalite pade sahasra badhana prabhu jari shakti dhare. Who can describe the limit of Mother Shashi's good fortune? Only the thousand-headed Lord is able, if he's empowered. Sahasra badhana prabhu. So this is a very poetic way of describing Ananta Shesh. Sahasravadan Prabhu, that master, that Lord, that Prabhu that has a thousand faces. Just like we say in Sanskrit, sometimes it's said, in Shastra it says, Malyadwaj. No, it says Malyaja. It says Malya. It's describing sandalwood paste, and it says Malaya Ja. Ja means Janma, or born, and Malaya means born from the Malayan hills. So sandalwood tree, the Malayan hills used to be covered with sandalwood trees. So rather than saying they rub Lord Chaitanya's body with chandan alepana, they say Malayaja alepana. In other words, that substance. So instead of saying Ananta Shesh, they're saying Sarva Varana Prabhu. So if he's empowered, Shakti Dhare, if he receives empowerment, if the Lord empowers Ananta Shesh, then he can describe the unlimited happiness or unlimited good fortune, Mother Shachi. This word in Bengali, the word for mother is Ai. I think it's the same in Maharashtra, Marathi. Ai. Especially if it's your mother-in-law. Prakrita shabde o jeva palibeka ai shabda prabhave o taraduka nai. If one utters the word ai as a mundane word, by the influence of the word ai, one will be freed from all suffering. So that's pretty powerful sound vibration. Ai. Those who call Sri Gaurasundara's mother Ai will be freed from all miseries. Ai! Gaurasundara's Mataji ki. Sachi Mata ki jai. Bhagavan Sachinandan ki jai. So this is a benediction from Vrindavan Das Thakur. This is a very interesting one. Ai, He said, even if you speak this or think of it, it's a mundane material world. It's a word in the material language of Marathi. Marathi is not Devanagari. It's not the language of the gods. It's not the Braj Bhasha or Mayapur Bhasha. It's a language of a section of India. Not even all of India. A portion of India, they speak Marathi, right? A small group of people. It's certainly not a world language. But, so that's an ordinary word, ai. But he's saying if you simply speak this ai, then you'll get free from all miseries. So remember your mother. Ai, ai. Of course, sometimes your mother can make you miserable. Your mother can also make you miserable too. Because mothers don't always treat you very nicely. You get a few slaps, a few cracks. Maybe they don't do what you want to do. They don't. You want to be a Hare Krishna, and they say, over my dead body. Over my dead body. If you join the temple, I'll commit suicide. They say like this. Indian mothers, they say, if you join the temple, and then what does the son do? Ai, ai, ai. He says, okay, dasosmi, and he doesn't join the temple. Because bhakti for mother is supreme in India. Devotion for the mother. It's not a bad thing, but it should have its limits. Devotion to your mother is very good. It's very, very good. If you're very devoted to your mother, you're guaranteed to get rebirth and stay in a samsara. It's very good if you want to stay in a samsara. But if you have guru bhakti and Krishna bhakti, that is also very, very good. And if you have guru bhakti and Krishna bhakti, you get liberated. Punarjanma navidyate. Mataji cannot give mukti. She can give many things, but not mukti. Only Bhagavan can give mukti. So then we have to adjust the priorities when we're ready. Everything, it's adjustment. Religion is proper adjustment with the environment. Ultimately, this is the meaning of religion. Proper adjustment of the environment in relationship to God. This is religion. So we'll stop there and continue by the Lord's grace and Ai, by the grace of Mother Sachi and Sachinandan. Ai, Ai! Madharam Samapayat. Everything should end on a sweet note. So usually Mother is associated with sweetness. So Mother Sachi is Jagannatha. She's the Lord, the Mother of the Universe. And she's so kind because when the son is punished by the father, he seeks comfort from his mother. So the mother generally is the compassionate side, the loving side. She removes the miseries. But Mother Sachi removes the miseries of material existence. The janma mrityu jaravyadi. Jaravyadi. Birth, death, old age, and disease. These are the miseries. And adiyatmika klesha. Bhautika klesha, daivika klesha, the miseries of material existence, Mother Sachi removes all these because she's given us Sachi Nandan. And if one is always chanting the name of her son, he'll get liberated. If he's always chanting the name of Mother Sachi or Ai, he'll get free from all miseries. So this is the mercy of the Divine Mother, the Supreme Mother, the spiritual mother of everyone. The mother of everyone in Kali Yuga is Mother Sachi. Because her son is the avatar for the age of Kali, Patita Pavana avatar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the easiest way to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is not to chant Lord Chaitanya, is to chant Sachinandan. The Lord is very much attracted to anyone who chants his names in relationship to his devotees. Because he's so much attracted to his devotee. If you say Krishna, 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 he says, oh, somebody's chanting my name, okay. But if you say Nandalal, Krishna or Yashoda Nandan, or Nanda Nandan, hey, who's that? They're calling the name of my mother. Someone's calling my mother's name. Krishna's more attracted. It's not that we stop chanting Hare Krishna. And start, Nandalal, Nandalal, Nandalal. Of course, that's also there. That's described in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. evam priya says so priya namam and Uddhava Gita is, but that's when if one becomes very advanced he may lock into one particular name of the Lord as his, it's called priya nam. The verse says evam priya nam in Uddhava Gita. At a very advanced stage of bhakti he may just chant Gaurakishor Das Babaji Maharaj. Towards the end of his life, he was always chanting, Hagaranga, Hagaranga, Hagaranga. Before that, he was chanting 3 lakhs of Maha Mantra every day. And what about our Haridas Thakura? Haridas Thakura is chanting 3 lakhs of Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But at the end of his life, he absorbed himself in the Maha Mantra. No. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri. Because this became his Priyanam, Swapriyanam. The verse says that Evam Swapriyanamam. So, same name, Jaya Shachinandana Gaurahari. And Gaurahari is very nice. He's the Golden Lord. But these names connected with devotees are very powerful. They're very powerful to win the heart of the Lord. Because where can we find the heart of the Lord? Can you find the heart of Krishna in Krishna? No. The heart of Krishna is in his devotees. So when we appeal to the name of his devotees, then we find the heart of Krishna. So, Mother Shachi ki jai. Shachi nandan yashoda nandan ki jai. Brajendra nandan, right? Shamasundara is a beautiful name of Krishna. Rasabihari, a beautiful name of Krishna. But when you say Radhanath, the Lord of Radha, because Radha is there and Nath is there, they're both there. But Krishna is saying, yes, Radha is my Nath. When you say Radhanath, that's the name for Krishna. That means that person who is controlled by Radha. Right? Radhanath. That's the real meaning of it. And Krishna loves to remember that. So when you hear someone, someone's saying Radhanath, Radhanath, oh yes, Radha is definitely my Nath. Her prem makes me dance. Ami Shishyahe, says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Radharani is my prem guru and I'm her Shishya. And her prem is making me dance. So Shachinandan ki jai. Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai. Question? If one really wants to get fully absorbed in Shastra, one should have knowledge of Rasa Tattva. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is giving knowledge of Rasa Tattva. Vyavachari Bhavas and Sanchari Bhavas. So you learn tightly that, and then when you read, it says that he was morose, or Lord Chaitanya is scratching the ground with his toenail, and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Radha Bhava. So that scratching the ground is one particular Vyavachari Bhava. So then, this is an expression. So then this is a manifestation of this. And so then you get more absorbed. Otherwise, always scratching is, or at the Krishna plays his flute and the demigoddess is in 10th canto. Krishna is playing his flute, dancing in the Rasa dance, and the demigoddesses, the Swarga Devis, flying in their Pushma Viman, their dresses become loose. Okay, well, the dress became loose. Well, that's actually described in Shastra. This is one of the symptoms of bhava, when the heart expands and the clothes become loose because there's a slight shrinking of the body. So they say, they're experiencing some sattva. So this is, otherwise, okay, so if you have understanding of rasa tattva, you see how there's the play of the rasas mixing here. And that's called rasa aswarana. Rasa swarana means to taste the rasa. Of course, the tasting comes when we're at the level of bhava. There's like music appreciation. One can study music appreciation or art appreciation and appreciate music. And there's another thing to be a musician. One is appreciating music because he studied music theory, but another is a musician. He's relishing the movement of the notes and the singing, the swaras and the ragas and raginis. That's a deeper absorption. So the appreciation of Shastra, when we have rasa tattva, then we can appreciate what's going on, although we can't actually taste the bhakti ras because we're not on the level of bhava. But when we come in the level of bhava, then we actually taste the ras, and that's called rasika bhavuvaka. The first canto of Bhagavatam says rasika bhavuvaka, that this Bhagavatam is meant for those rasikas, rasika Vaishnavas. So those that aren't rasikas, that are not on the level of bhava bhakti, they also get benefit. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, nityam bhagavata savior. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, abhadra, whatever. If we're on the level of anartanivrti, there's so much abhadra, so much, so that becomes annihilated by hearing Bhagavatam every day. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the first book that Prabhupada gave us, 1970. Yes. It's this awareness of rasa. This is one of the things. We have to actually perform Raghunuga Sadhana. One has to have awareness of Leela. Must be aware of the Leelas, because you can't meditate. Because Raghunuga Bhakti is actually a plane of meditation in a true sense. So I have to have awareness of Leela, then some awareness of rasa, like this. Everything comes gradually. And Guru guides disciples. Okay, more? No, that isn't exactly the way it works. In terms of service in terms of raga and adhikar, what happens is that, what I mean to say or to clarify, is that the level or the intensity or the type of service we render changes as our adhikar qualification increases, and as our attachment to Krishna increases, the level and intensity of our service also changes and takes on a new shape. It's not that you pick up some rag and then it's a growth. It's a byproduct of inner growth and spiritual advancement. Rag is not something you just pick up. Rag develops. It's this attachment to Krishna. Become attached to Krishna. And the adhikar is a qualification. We have no qualification to meditate because our minds are full of, for the most part, our minds are full of contamination. So therefore, cheta darpana marjanam. It's not an artificial process. We have eligibility and qualification to chant and kirtan, to do humble service in guru, a pariprasnena sevya, and then that service will increase our qualification to do other services. At the beginning level, we're humble servants. Krishna and Balaram, they went out every day and collected firewood. They weren't sitting around doing rag smart, manjari srup bhajan. Krishna and Balaram weren't sitting in the gurukul doing manasi seva. So Krishna wasn't qualified? Krishna didn't have any rag? He's showing the example. This is the Vasantantur Guror Hitam. The one lives in the Guror Hitam. It says 7th canto of Bhagavatam. The Brahmachari lives in the Gurukul for the Hitam, for the benefit of the Guru. Vasantantur Guror Hitam. Brahmachari Gurukule, Vasantantur Guror Hitam. He lives in the Gurukul of the Guru as a Brahmachari. And Vasantantur, he controls his senses and he's humble. And so render a humble service to the Lord through His representative, and gradually all qualification, our qualification will increase, because as our purity increases, our qualification increases. And as our purity and qualification increase, our attachment to Krishna also increases. Because if I say now you sit down and meditate on Krishna's Leela, you'll fall asleep, because you don't have the adhikar, and don't have the rag. But if I say, sit down and take this mahaprasadam, will you fall asleep? No, because you have the adhikar to eat. And do you have rag? Yeah, I have a lot of attachment and attraction to eating. So you'll be really absorbed. So no rag, no absorption. No qualification, no entrance. No submission, no permission. No permission, no admission. So it's like this. Don't. Somehow you have adhikar, you got initiated. So that was, you had some qualifications, some shraddha, some sukriti. So And I'll start there and develop. I think you have some confusion, really, what raga is. But in terms of obstacles and impediments, chanting Hare Krishna is the means to perfection. Raga is a byproduct of spiritual advancement. It's not that raga is some special entity. In Raganuga Bhakti, there's also chanting and puja and all these things. The nine limbs of devotion are also there in Raganuga Bhakti, but they take on a different flavor, a different focus. Anartha Nivritti, this is Vaidhi Sadhana. Generally, it's told that Raganuga Bhakti begins at the level of Ruchi, proper Raganuga Bhakti, Ruchi. So how do you get to Ruchi? Well, you have to go through Anartha Nivritti and become Nishta. Well, how do you go through Anartha Nivritti and become steady? By chanting Hare Krishna without offenses. And by humble, dutiful, regulated, steady service to Guru, Hare Krishna. What is the difficulty? Devotees used to come to Prabhupada with different problems. Oh, Prabhupada, I have this problem, I have that problem. Prabhupada listened very patiently. He said, yes, I suggest you chant Hare Krishna. You should increase your number of rounds. Or someone came with a very, very serious problem, very, very unsolvable, irresolvable problem. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes, I have some very, very big medicine for you. Very, very big medicine. You should go somewhere to some temple, go to Mayapur or whatever. You sit for 1 week and chant 64 rounds a day. I have some big medicine. You chant 64. Prabhupada prescribed this sometimes to different sannyasis. You go, you sit peacefully, you chant 64 rounds for some time, then you come back. It is a fact that if we're so many problems everyone faces, we all face, and there's no greater shelter in the 14 worlds than the holy name of Krishna. We don't believe it. We don't have the faith. We don't have the patience. That's a problem. That's our real problem. We don't, no vishwas, no shraddha, and no dainya, patience. Patience or dainya? Utsa nischaya dharyat. What is his next, their instruction? What is the word for patience? Dharya. Utsa nischaya dharyat. Enthusiasm, utsa, nishta, steadiness, confidence, and patience. We don't have. But it's a fact that if we somehow muster the patience and enthusiasm to sit down, all right, I have all these problems, I'm just going to sit down. It's my day off from work, and my kids are on vacation. I went to my grandmother or to my mother's house. They're with their grandmother. I'm going to chant all day. No matter, I don't care what my mind says. I don't care what my body says. I'm going to walk, I'm going to sit, I'm going to lie down. Somehow I'm going to chant all day. And I'm going to chant and chant and chant Krishna's name. Then by the end of the day, you feel wonderful. You feel so relieved. And it's a very magic. This is our special gift that we've all been given if we've taken Diksha. We've been given access to the ocean of mercy. It's yours for the taking, as they say. It's yours for the taking. Take it. Lord Chaitanya, many murtis of Lord Chaitanya, he's like this. Nityananda is like this. Take it. If I go like this, what does it mean? Take the book. If the wife comes to the husband with a big plate, big thali full of food, and she goes like that, what does that mean? It means husband, take the thali. If he comes like that, and he said, what are you doing? What are you doing? What do you think I'm doing? I'm giving you your dinner. It's quite obvious. If I come with a thali full of prasadam and I'm the wife, and it's dinner time, and prasad. So if his hands are like this, it's quite obvious. Lord Chaitanya is saying, take the mercy. Right? He's saying, take it. He's two hands. You don't see anything in his hands. He doesn't have a book in his hands. Because whatever mercy you need, that's what's in his hands. Whatever mercy you need knowledge, he'll give you knowledge. You need faith, he'll give you faith. You need determination, he'll give you determination. Whatever you need. Yoga kshemam mahamyaham. Whatever you require, Krishna will give. That's such a beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya. And Mayapur, Lord Chaitanya, he's busy. He's distributing ecstasy in Mayapur because his hands are like this. You ever saw? You went to Mayapur? Panchatattva? Lord Chaitanya's life. But at least he's not like this. He could be like this, right? But his palms are forward. You ever notice? It's called palm. His hands could be like this, he could be like this, or like dancing. Some deities, Lord Chaitanya's like this. But he's like this. So he's in ecstasy, but he's also giving blessings. He's giving blessings for ecstasy. And when you're ecstatic, then you raise your arms up and Haribo. You ever see Indians when they dance, they go like this. Right? You ever see Indian men at a wedding party or something? No. Their hands are up. They're not going. Yeah. They're feeling something. And then the ladies, you know, the Brijvasi ladies, they don't go so much like this, but they go, you know, like this. Something up. You know, their hands are... You know, they'd like to raise their hand, but they're a little shy. You know, they don't want, you know, everything hanging out or whatever. You know, they're shy, you know, this whole thing. So they go like... You know. The men are like... So this is a mudra. This is a ulas. Ulas mudra. This is ulas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a supreme ecstatic form of divinity. Mahabhav. Rasaraj, Mahabhav. So he's not like this. He could be like this. I forget it. I'm not giving any mercy. It's for me. It's on my head, you know. As most TDs are like this. I was all over Navadvipa and on a yatra and Puri. I didn't see any TD like this. They're very special. You look, you won't see. But first, both arms raised and palms straight, ekdam straight, flat. That's significant. Every motion of the Lord is significant. Every word of the Lord is significant. Every step of the Lord is significant. Every word of the Lord is significant. And it behooves us to realize the significance. And then that will make our lives significant. Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai.